This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Friday edition, going until 1 o'clock. Welcome to the program.
Hello, good afternoon, thank you. I would like, there are a few things I'd like to ask. One, there have been a lot of talk about our food import bill. What I would like to know, besides the talk, if any steps are being taken to change the figures, and I when you go about this place, it's a lot of waste land, or what I would call waste land that used to be once agricultural land, right? And this is not an attack on Mr. Agriculture, I made that clear, because anything you're saying in your office will never be an attack. This is not an attack. He's always talking about agriculture. You see, it has grown. What I would like him to do is to carry out a series of pilot projects, growing things, show that they can be grown here, invite the press, invite the Minister of Agriculture, and go from there. I don't see that as an attack. That's a bit of constructive advice. Right? This thing that these people wear, these Muslims, I call it a mask, because anything you have anything covering your face, I consider it to be a mask. I am one who still thinks that they should not be allowed to walk the streets of Barbados with their face covered, religion or not. We have a national festival called Cropover, a festival that belongs to the people, and you cannot or should not wear any mask. If they want to wear these things in their homes, their mosque, their yard, their car, and their business, but for the time they set foot on the public road, I feel that their face will be shown. They claim that they are not violent people, but things have changed. I remember one day I was in a cost you less. I wanted to wear the face covered. Walk into a gentleman, this gentleman said, lady, that's Bonksman. And you should have heard the reaction. So had she attacked him, what kind of report we have given to the police, how fat she was, how tall, how slim, and what color black, what shade black she was wearing? I think it's time that we start looking at things differently. We have to. I don't know if we want to respond to any of those things.
No, not really. I think you have done an adequate job of explaining yourself and expressing yourself.
You see, we have a tendency of veterans, and even the vagrants. I have known of two cases in Trinidad where vagrants attack and murder people. I find that some of the vagrants are very aggressive. Why do we not start taking steps to prevent those things happening?
Like what?
I know people are going to talk about.
What would you do?
Get them off of the streets. People are going to talk about rights. My mom got a right to keep the streets of Bridgestone dirty and to be a threat to people. That's a right now. Look out there by the bus terminal. I won't even buy a drink from one of their shops. But they're filthy. And you want to tell me about rights? So people don't got rights now to keep about that place dirty and threatening people and that kind of thing. Come on. If it's not a law, go to Parliament and make it a law. I never wanted my salary cut. The change the law to do it. Where they can't do things that would benefit the whole of society. This place is a joke place, David. Sorry to say, but it's true and it's a fact.
This is a joke place? Barbados is a joke
place? Yes.
Well, to you.
Not only to me, to a lot of people. No way, you know, we're not a person. We've got a lot of people fighting to talk. I am fighting to talk, and then we keep on talking. And who don't look at that other business?
All right, sir.
It's foolishness.
Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
I am all right. I spoke about this. I heard you talk about the sponsor, the loud music.
Yeah.
And you also said about, we don't know why we wait until these things happen or when they, or until they get out of hand. Anyway, one thing that I spoke about probably about 2 weeks ago is this black tint that people have on the vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm adamant to ban that black tint because people are doing crime and using the cars out to get rid of vehicles. And I see it has slowly crept back in. Another thing, that those nuisance horns that the ZRs and minibuses has on them, their horns. I heard the guy from the transport say that those horns are illegal. And nobody is doing anything about it. I wonder when they will... I would like the police to say when they can do something about that tent. Because I spoke to police and they told me that it's still illegal. All right.
Those are the principal concerns that you had?
Yes.
Well, you know, I suppose you can't tackle everything at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many areas where, you know, things fall down and fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose, ultimately, it all begins with each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we really need to ask the question, to what extent am I contributing to the very issues that I may be accusing other people of being involved in?
A fella said to me, but you don't have a car, so I don't see why you're concerned about the
thing. Well, there you go. He says, but if you had a car, chances are you might have tinted it the same way too.
I know. I'm a law abiding citizen. Anyway, nice talking to you guys.
Pleasure. Well, you know, there are so many things. I witnessed the other day something that I'll share with you. I was listening to a matter in court with this guy pleading guilty to assault. And when the complainant was quizzed about what caused it, he told the presiding officer that he had been involved in a verbal confrontation with his sister, and that in the process, he said something to his sister about her, the way she has been living her life. The presiding officer took great objection to the comment which was made by the complainant to his sister, and then proceeded to say that, you know, the court accepts that one person can intervene on behalf of another. Well, the upshot of it all was that the person who pleaded guilty never got any comment that seemed as though it was a reprimand. But the complainant, I thought he was the person who had pleaded guilty to the offense of the assault. And I say this just to draw to people's attention the fact that all of us, I sit here as a moderator and that sort of thing, and I from time to time can stray in the way that I may handle someone. But I'm open to people's criticism. At every level, we have to be sensitive to the kind of messages that we send when we are in positions of authority. And you don't, I said to myself, if that had been different and it was a female complainant and a male presiding officer had said the same thing, what would have been the reaction? And I think that's the standard that one has to use in these circumstances. We, as members of the public, also have a responsibility to identify the need to pay attention at every level. And even when it comes to what happens at the judicial level, members of the public have a right and a responsibility to say whether they agree or disagree with how things are conducted. And all I ask is that the people who sit in these positions are sensitive to the fact that they are not the only people with a point of view about things like this. You know, you just got to be sensitive to that reality. Because what are you setting out to do? You are setting out to achieve a situation where you can say, look, when the guy left, the complainant, he just shook his head in frustration. And I was saying to myself, with the guy who pleaded guilty, he must have said to himself, well, that serves you right for bringing me here today. So that's the kind of thing that we need to watch. Somebody says here that they don't think that we focus on some, they think that we focus on some trivial matters and ignore the questions that really are important within the country. He says that none of the, in the eyes of the person who's writing this, none of the infrastructure that supports the effective functioning of the economy or society has been reinforced or addressed, and this includes silly laws which only impact a subsection of society. So that is that opinion. Another person says here, Mr. P is right, and everyone with a basic level of intelligence knows Barbados is a joke place. We can create 100 problems, but we can't solve or resolve any one of them. We are devoid of useful ideas in this country. And the person says, at least the political leadership is. Here's another one. The random vendors all over Barbados, whether food vans, fruit and vegetables, clothes, etc. The requirements initially should be that the vendors require a license and there should be random checks to make sure that they have the valid license. And the person says there's theft of produce for sure from people's land. And maybe you should ask to buy from the owner so all parties can benefit, including the government relicensing fee. It's a little structured in a difficult way for me to articulate it, but I think you get the drift of what that person is saying. Then I also had someone raise the question of Swan Street. That person says that, one person says that because of how Swan Street has become, they have stopped going there. And I think we're going to have to revisit to some extent what was the intention and to what extent we may have strayed from that particular intention when it comes to what is happening in that particular domain. So call us at 4341790, 4341771. I see that outside of Barbados, Donald Trump continues to capture attention almost every day. There is now this whole question of a claim that he knew that his son was meeting with the Russians to see if he could get some information on Hillary Clinton's campaign. He says he didn't know anything at all about it, but he survives. What I want you to do, though, for all the negatives that exist in relation to Donald Trump, is there anything that you believe he has done that you could say, look, well, at least this is positive? One of the things that I have noticed is that in a country where we are so fickle when it comes to criticism and stuff like that, Donald Trump, criticizing Donald Trump is like pouring water on a duck's back. And things that we would all get so ruffled about and stuff like that, he doesn't worry. He goes on the attack. And as far as he's concerned, let's fight another battle another day. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello to you.
You're on the air. Hello?
Am I?
You are, yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. There's just a couple of things I want to pick your mind.
Sure.
And are you happy with the population of Barbados, which is predominantly of Negro race? Are you, as a black person, happy with the distribution of wealth, access to it? What we have over the years acquired as a nation of people, are you happy with that, one, as a black person in this country? Not for yourself alone, but overall.
I couldn't tell you that I'm happy with it, but I must say to you that in many countries, this problem remains, and it is not peculiar to Barbados. I mean, the great United States is a country where a small percentage of the population owns so much of America. So I see room for improvement in the case of Barbados. The question is, how are we going to get there? What can we do, given the weaknesses in the way that we are made up and how we see working with each other? What do you believe we can do to make a difference?
Well, it's a simple question of distribution of wealth, equitable distribution of wealth.
How?
Some people say that, some people say that might not be possible at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I would zero in on perhaps the laws that are so designed to not allow that to happen, to start with.
Which laws?
Well, several of them, maybe all of them. I think our constitution, one, and the other.
You need
laws
to be more specific, my friend. I don't think that it is easy to accept a generalization of this nature.
It
would help us if you could at least identify a major aspect of the Constitution that you believe inhibits that kind of growth.
I'm relying on you for enlightenment as well. You're the voice of the nation.
I tell you guys,
you have access to the areas.
My friend, it doesn't work like that.
It surely doesn't.
No, this is how it works. If you come to me and you posit an argument, I expect you to develop the argument.
Well, that's like I said, the Constitution,
and what aspect of the Constitution?
You're going to pose it right off the bat.
No, I'm not opposing it. I'm not opposing it. I want specifics. Once I get specifics. But if you can tell me the Constitution, what part of the Constitution?
All right, hold on. No. We have not been the movers and shakers of the wealth in Barbados, for instance. We have not, as former slaves, we own just the clothes on our back. Our foreparents did too. We own nothing. I'm not even too sure the Tenancy Freehold Act that was passed that gave blacks an access to a piece of land because they were sitting on it for eons. That formerly belonged to the plantation. In truth, in the fact, did anything to help them. That's just one aspect I'm looking at. We have been so disenfranchised in so many ways. No wonder the fellow Smokey Burke wrote this calypso, you know what I mean? Because any sensible Barbadian today would be asking questions like this. I'm personally not happy. I don't think that a fair shake of the glass that we've been given that.
Do we have the capacity to do better? Given we know what our history has been, we know that that has been part of the challenge. But do we have the capacity to do any better? All right?
I'm sure we do.
You're sure that we do?
Yeah, but...
But what stops us? These laws?
Yeah, these laws.
Well, I need more. You and I have to have a further discussion because based upon the way that this discussion is going, I don't know that we're going to get anything more concrete from you.
You said some time ago.
Yeah.
and this is the net. This is well, that argument has not been finished. I'm sure it'll take a little while. I don't want to go into detail, right? But then hold on. You said someday. I wonder what empirical evidence you have. You said some few days ago that 30,000 Guyanese were sent out of the country. What?
I didn't say that.
Do you?
Oh, you didn't. I didn't say no 30,000 Guyanese.
Well, you made a comment that
I didn't say 30,000 Guyanese. I said Guyanese. A number of Guyanese, but I didn't say 30,000. I couldn't give a specific figure.
I
couldn't.
I'm not xenophobic, but I'm just saying to you, the comment troubled me a bit because that is simply not true.
I gave no specifics. Anyhow, we're gonna move on.
All right.
This story here, somebody is raising this question. More than one person. Originally, when the story about the drug bust came, $3 million was advanced as the size of the seizure. And now we're hearing that it's $500,000. Now, I looked at the statements put out by the police. The police never put out a statement of about a figure until today. And all of that was, well, the question is to what extent is our credibility, not Mr. Com, I mean media credibility to some extent, under the microscope because of the way that some have reported on this particular story in the rush to get, you know, the information out. The police would have been the main source of that figure. They're the ones on whom we rely to give us those specifics. I don't recall that they ever did put a figure of $3 million out. The $500,000 is what they have just announced. So you got to go to the sources that gave the $3 million and ask them how they arrived at that. All right? We're going to the Starcom Network News. Then we come back. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We're going until 1 o'clock. So we have another 15 minutes or so. In the meantime, let me perhaps ask Dennis Johnson for his own perspective here on these latest developments, especially the much-discussed case that we've had running for the past couple of days. From the media's perspective, your thoughts?
David, good afternoon. A couple of things. When the story broke, I think all the news outlets said an estimated street value of $3 million. I remember asking someone how much the size of a $3 million worth of drugs in the hold of a boat, they keep referring to it as a luxury yacht. I'm sorry, when I think luxury yacht, I think something else.
Yeah, this sailboat.
Well, to me, it's a 40-foot yacht. I haven't been on that one, so I don't know what the hold looks like. But size, compressed, I don't know what it looks like. I have no idea what compressed drugs look like. But I question the amount that would fit into the hold of a vessel like that without people on it seeing it. But the media reports kept saying an estimated street value of $3 million. The informants, how they got it, how they arrived at that figure, I don't know. So when you have a charge bringing it down to 500 and something pounds, credibility becomes an issue.
$1,000,
yeah. And the actual weight, no. David, one of the challenges I think the media faces in the light of, and I've said this before, social media and the immediacy of stories being forwarded from one to another. I think media houses, in trying to keep abreast or keep ahead of the news curve, find themselves in situations where they have to pull back, their credibility is at stake. Social media stories do not have to be credible. They don't have to come from a reliable source. And that's why the gentleman that you referred to before the break, the President of the United States, uses Twitter to demonize the news media because he understands that social media places additional scrutiny on traditional media in a way it does not on social media. If you look at what is happening, as somebody who's been in journalism as long as you have, you would realize that now people do not question the stories they see on social media. They question the traditional media reporting the story.
Because traditional media is supposed to filter and check. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yes, but David, what I'm saying to you is because of the introduction of social media and the prevalence of it, the questions are not asked with social media. Nobody says to anybody on social media, are you sure this picture you're sending me or this story you're sending me over David Ellis's signature is really his story. Because somebody could see, let's say you sent a memo out with your signature on it.
Yeah.
They could put it on social media. There's your signature. And if it goes under a Starcom logo, I could block out the center of what you've said, change the story, but I have Starcom logo and your signature over it, under it. And it could be anything that I type. And the question then becomes, we question traditional media who should be checking and double-checking, but not social media stories. The microscope has changed. And I think what has happened is that in an effort to keep ahead of the curve, the regular media is following the print the story and then we'll check the facts after, which is a dangerous thing to do.
Well, I wouldn't say that that is so across the board.
Wouldn't say so either.
But this particular story, from what I saw, it broke on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the traditional media was then caught with how best can we deal with this? Because
there were a names whole set out of
detail, yeah, that's a whole correct. Set of detail was put in what was put out by social media. The $3 million came from that original piece that was put out on social media as well. So it just highlights a trend that we need to be careful with. I think we were in Starcom, we were cautious because of, you know, we understood clearly what could possibly happen in circumstances where people were not charged. Once people have been charged, that's a different story altogether. Somebody
sent a message here saying the luxury yacht is an
old-fashioned schooner.
But my point is, I don't know what they've done to it to make it luxury. I mean, I have been, David, the truth is, I have been inside a 70-foot ocean racer, for example, and outside, a 70-foot ocean racer looks like pretty much like a schooner. Where you sit down outside and pull sails, which is what I was doing because I was a member of the crew, you're in the rough. The salt water in your face and you're racing. But when you go inside, mm-hmm. depending on whose yacht it is,
yes,
I mean, you got carpet up to your ankles, you know, you got bar with, you know, glassware and gold faucets and stuff. So it could be very luxurious inside. The challenge is this, however, David. When I followed this story, there were some questions that came up in my mind. When people were talking about the length of time it was taken to question the length of time questioning. One would have to ask questions like, what was the sailing schedule? Where did you go? How many stops did you make? If you're leaving Grenada to come to Barbados, sailing direct, going through the Grenadines, stopping off here, who went on and off? Who was on the boat all the time? Who wasn't there all the time? There are questions that you would have to ask like that to determine this charge. Because if you're charging with possession, you have to prove that it was in the possession of the person. You see,
that goes into the realm of the evidence and stuff.
And David, and that's why you have to take time building it. Because if you can't put chain of possession, then you can't bring a charge of possession. The defense lawyers would chew you to bits.
Well,
you see, if two fellas are on a boat, let's say two of us are on a speedboat, and they find drugs on the speedboat. No, they charge the two of us with possession. But if you say, but Dennis Johnson stopped and picked me up on Haywood's Beach in the fancy speedboat, and I just get on there, you would have to prove that you were lying on Haywood's Beach and I picked you up.
Part of the problem facing the media on this one, though, is that I get the sense that there are some people who have their knives out.
Yeah, but they, for
Charles Herbert.
Yeah.
And in so doing, what they were behind the media to suggest that you weren't acting quickly enough to get information out because of who was involved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the media itself had to protect its own interests. Because the truth is that the way that society is structured, if you make a mistake with a poor person, well, that poor person can't take you anywhere. You make a mistake with somebody who got means, and that person can then take you to the cleaners on the basis of the error that you've made. And I think that that is at the core of why you will see that some sections of the media would be far more cautious. And as we said, taking time and laziness, ultimately, that information will come forward, but the zeal to be first with the information, you take some risks. If you want to, before things are officially confirmed, unless you got it on really from really good sources, then you can run a risk.
And David, this is the interesting thing I think about this particular case. This case has all the elements of what you would call the perfect storm. Here you have well-known business people, someone who's been in the media and faced political fire as well as fire on economics. You have drugs, which the importation of drugs in particular, and guns, because that too has been thrown in, on yachts and ports of entry have been in and out of media stories for the longest while.
Yes.
And the allegations have always been, you're holding the small people and big yachts coming in. So here you have yacht, business class, illicit substance, political sidebar, and then you have the issue of who the legal representatives are. A perfect storm. I hope the vessel could take the storm because this is going to have all sorts of overtones.
I think it's true. Quite frankly, I think that, as I said earlier, what has happened so far in this particular matter, it is important that Barbados takes the right steps in trying to make sure that a majority of the people in the country believe that what has been done is in sync with what is done normally, and that there are no special cases here. However, remember this. Again, the tradition has been money matters in representation. Mm-hmm. Okay? And the better, the more you can pay for representation, the chances are that you are going to be able to fight your case better in court.
Well, so David, that is true. The other thing, though, that I think will always resonate, no matter which way it goes, is will the public be satisfied with what we call justice? Because I've often said that I think sometimes what people look for is vengeance and not justice, and we confuse the two all the time. There are too many cases in Barbados where a gentleman sent a WhatsApp yesterday when I answered him and said the matter was under police investigation and sometimes we need to be a little careful in how we report it. And the person said, so what happened to the other cases, the hit-and-run case in with the Suzuki that somewhere out in St. Thomas, and a whole list of cases, are those still open cases? I said, until the person has been charged, tried, and sentenced, it is an open case. But there are several cases in Barbados that people will bring up and say, you know, where is this matter? Where is that matter? Has this been resolved? Has that been resolved? And that's why the issue you pointed out this morning about Sir Cliff Richard and how the press was treated in Britain with his, quote, invasion of privacy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see how that becomes a factor in other cases in the Caribbean, because people usually look at precedent and
that is exactly where the legal advice comes into it. And because this guy, somebody is saying here that they are hard-pressed to accept the arguments about the caution employed in reporting this story by the Nation Group, he says, solely on the basis of being cautious. He says, these cases of importation of weed are a dime a dozen and are not treated in the manner that this was reported. Names are published from the get-go. Mm-hmm. So I say to him, but the Cliff Richard case was not before us all that time as the precedent. And that is the kind of, it's a new scenario, and it causes your legal advisors and stuff to be very much more cautious in those circumstances, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So whether you want to accept it or not, that is indeed the scenario that has confronted some people. There are others who are going to be, you know, people deal with things differently. Some people say, look, in the circumstances, I can step out. I believe that my sources are good enough, and I can step out there and deal with this in a completely different way. But I would suggest to you that you are likely to see a different approach, not only in relation to this particular matter, but going forward. The media may well be more cautious for that very reason, people are charged.
But let me also say this, David, as I pointed out to you, two men on a fishing boat and seven people on a larger vessel makes a difference. Because don't forget, a lady was supposedly questioned and released, and three gentlemen charged.
I
don't know who else was on the boat anyway.
Details are
luxury yacht.
I wouldn't get into those because, you know, that takes us in a completely different direction.
I understand that.
You know.
Understand that, clearly.
All right. Thank you all very much. And that's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis, and thank you, Dennis Johnson, for being with me.